Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 23, 2017. The Jerusalem Post published my new article, A Memo to President Trump. President Trump, I wish you a pleasant visit to Israel. Still, in my view, your success in office depends on an effective implementation of the America First policy. Dear Mr. President, welcome to Israel. The Israeli public awaits your arrival with great anticipation, just as your supporters back home are eager to see the fulfillment of your America First policy. For this reason, I truly believe that turning the attention to America is the key to making your term in office a success. You know better than anyone that joblessness in American society is a constant concern, as tens of millions are still living on various forms of government benefits. Such permanent inactivity is a recipe for trouble. Prolonged idleness creates crime, violence, substance abuse, and can ravage entire communities. On the national level, the sense of solidarity among Americans is at an all-time low. As politics creates factions and frictions within society that impede every effort for improvement, it seems as though the very nationhood of the American people is at risk. To combat these challenges, I recommend the introduction of a nationwide program to strengthen communities and deepen the solidarity among the American people. The program consists of two interdependent elements that together will guarantee both the livelihood of all Americans and their national solidarity. Because it is necessary to guarantee people's livelihoods, some sort of universal basic income, UBI, is required in this program. However, if we leave it at that, a permanent income that does not require any commitment from the beneficiaries will kill people's ability to work and to connect with others, and will turn them into hazards to society. For this reason, reception of UBI benefits must be contingent upon partaking in courses and workshops conducted under specific rules designed to invoke in participants feelings of connection, trust, and reciprocity. These workshops are part of a method called integral education, i.e., which has proven itself successful numerous times over many years, and in countless places around the world, including the US, Europe, Israel, and Russia. Besides workshops, IE provides practical tools for handling emotional and social crises, and includes learning about the history of the country, state, and city where people live, so as to make them feel connected to their local neighborhoods and to the US society as a whole. But most important, this method makes people feel that solidarity and a sense of community create more value for them than isolation and alienation. Today's technologies enable providing IE to millions of people online at minimal cost. People can participate from home or at public venues such as community centers. While facilitators will still be required in classrooms, professional instruction can be given online by a handful of trained professionals from one central location. The decrease in violence and crime, and the increase in national cohesion and positive social engagement will drastically reduce crime and violence levels, and will slash the prevalence of substance abuse. These changes will save vast amounts of government and municipal resources, making the IE program exceptionally lucrative. Beyond the economic value, IE will transform communities, creating an ambience of friendliness, trust, comprehension of social responsibility, and strong engagement in pro-social activities. Mr. President, as you are a pragmatic individual, I think you should focus on America first and do what is best for the American society, as you have clearly stated since the onset of your presidency. If you implement a nationwide IE program, America will undoubtedly become the role model of social stability and national solidarity. Or, to use your words, it will make America great again. With best wishes, Michael Leitman. France after the election. What will become of Macron? Question. The new Prime Minister of France, Emmanuel Macron, promises to bring back all the characteristics of free France. It is believed that he wasn't elected as much for his promises as to oppose Marine Le Pen. The fight was against her. What do you think this will lead to? What is your Kabbalistic prediction? Answer: I can say only one thing, he is the centrist, for both the left and the right voted for him, liberals and Democrats, conservatives and Republicans, just to not let Le Pen win, because she was actually feared. It should be remembered that 10-15% of the French population is comprised of immigrants from North African and Middle Eastern countries. All of them repelled Le Pen. The thing is, that the people that brought Macron to power, united to let him win. But uniting to govern the country, this they will not be able to do. To raise above yourself despite the opposite views so that the left and the right lines would merge into the middle line, above the differences, that is what they will not be able to do, they are not Kabbalists. And that is why everything is doomed to a slow, ever-deepening collapse. Question: so they will start tearing Macron apart? Answer: yes. He will start yielding to some, then to others, and as a result, France will become weaker and weaker. Eventually it will be ruled, as Le Pen said, by a woman. That is, probably, how it will happen. Question: so, you believe that the left and the right will not be able to unite around Macron? Answer: they don't have the system of uniting opposites where each, retaining their individuality, raises above it, and connects with others, opposite themselves. In our world, this condition does not really exist. We have to teach people how to do it. Therefore, we currently observe a division of the public in half in all the countries prior to elections. The result of the elections is a marginal advantage of one side or the other. This all leads to an overwhelming polarization of humanity in the world, and people will be forced to find ways of peaceful coexistence. Otherwise, it will result in war. Question: so you are hinting that, actually, the science of Kabbalah will be needed to bring the opposites together? Answer: undoubtedly. Either before or after war. From Cab TV's News with Michael Leitman, May 11, 2017. The Torah, encrypted knowledge. Question: could the wisdom of Kabbalah exist without the Torah? Answer: the Torah is Kabbalah and not how it was later reinterpreted and altered by people. The Torah is a Kabbalistic record of the information of the upper world. It seems to us that it talks about historical events in our world, but it has nothing to do with them, and talks only about what is happening in the form of the forces of the upper world. The Torah is written in the language of the branches, so instead of still, vegetative, animate, and human objects mentioned in it, we must imagine the forces that rule the universe. And not only the entire text, but every letter of the Torah is a record of force. Hence, we must treat it as encrypted knowledge. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, the 22nd of January 2017. Trump against the judicial system. In the news, CNN, Donald Trump turned to his favorite outlet for outrage over the weekend when he blasted out tweets to his 23.9 million followers lambasting the federal judge who temporarily suspended the president's executive orders on immigration. After only 3 weeks in office, he is launching an unusual attack, not just on a particular ruling, but targeting a specific judge. Just cannot believe a judge would put our country in such peril, Trump wrote. If something happens, blame him and court system. People pouring in. Bad. Trump wrote. The message was clear. If there's a terrorist attack, it's the judge's fault. My comment: his predecessor, the previous President Obama, opened the entry of Muslims into the United States, following which, close to 10 million Muslims immigrated to the United States. This could have bad consequences. We know that they have brought no benefit either to the state or the society in any country they have gathered. Comment: but citizens in the United States have organized demonstrations against the ban on entry. Response: P. People who were paid and directed to do this participated in these demonstrations because during the last 30 to 40 years, the media have caused degeneration and disorientation among the people so that people no longer know anything. That is why they are going out with fanatical conviction against Trump. They don't understand that Trump represents a new movement that has ripened in the United States, which includes most of the population who understand that it is impossible to leave the nation in the custody of the liberals. This is even though we see that those liberals are ready to destroy anyone who doesn't support their views. Half of the people want one thing, and the other half wants something else. The Democrats took advantage of the opportunities that they had, so why don't they want to allow the other half to run the country if this happened according to the Constitution? Where is their pluralism? Pluralism implies a multiplicity of opinions in which it is possible to express every opinion. It has become clear that there is also another opinion that must also be given a place, but they don't want this. Are they pluralists, liberals, Democrats? They are definitely not. It follows that they are like the fascists. They bought all the media. Is this a democracy? What is possible to brag about here? This is shameful. After all, it is possible and necessary to convey everything through the legislature, through the political system, and if not, then it is against the law. Question: as a Kabbalist, you are for a natural equilibrium system. What kind of equilibrium solution can exist here? Answer: there is absolutely a solution of equilibrium that exists. In addition to the left one, a second, right lever should appear. Let's call these two sides by their conditional names. There are demonstrators and there is, let's say, Trump. Even though he is the representative of millions of Americans, including powerful citizens who have no inclination toward violence against others that voted peacefully and quietly, but they still seem not to be heard. A balanced system would be when the right line, led by Trump, rises in direct proportion to the left line, the Democrats, so that the two lines will be of equal value, and then they will begin to build a middle line between them, an average state. Just as minus and plus exist in nature, they must join together into a single mechanism and create life within it. Then life will flow in cycles in a society in which the right and left lines are connected and they will work in partnership. It is necessary to teach this to the society and its leaders, because this is not found in either Trump nor in Soros who embodies the left line, nor in the others. Everyone will need to learn. But first, it is Trump's time now. A separate line, there is no life, it is only in the connection between them. And separately the two lines now become fascist. The representatives of one side threaten, Trump will bring fascism. And they themselves will not? We see the results. Specifically, all of the neoliberals, pluralists, and Democrats of today are producing a more extreme right line, they are giving rise to fascism. Comment: what this means is that the only way is the way of the middle line. Answer: yes. But now it is necessary for the right line to rise up and become stable, and then after that to move toward the middle line. To do this, we must reach some kind of balance, studying and working together, just as plus and minus work for a single engine and cause it to rotate. That is how it should be. From Cab TV's News with Michael Leitman, February 6, 2016. Epilogue to the Holocaust Memorial Day, Part 3. Balha Sulam, article: The Writings of the Last Generation. It is a fact that Israel is hated by all the nations, whether for religious, racial, capitalist, communist, or for cosmopolitan reasons, etc. It is so because the hatred precedes all reasons, but each merely resolves its loathing according to its own psychology. This hatred is natural because the body is not getting what it needs from the head. Instinctively, subconsciously, it feels its dependence on the head. This is so because we all exist within nature, within one desire, and under the influence of common forces. And when the head does not provide the body with all that it requires, then the body blames it for all its misfortunes. Nothing can be done about this, only correction is required. If desire is born within the body, then the head is obligated to take care of it. And we are not speaking here about the simple fulfillment of material desires of the body, this will not help. The nations of the world will never be fulfilled in this way, and we have seen this throughout the entire span of our history. Humanity creates more and more fulfillment for itself, but our desire only grows. One who received $100, wants $200, and when he receives $200, wants $400. It is the desire to receive that must be corrected, not the actual fulfillment. When the desire is corrected, it will begin to be fulfilled by bestowal. This is the only way it is possible to be fulfilled. In other words, it is the duty of the head to provide the body with correction. The body lacks the strength to reach bestowal because there are only desires in it. When the body receives the strength for bestowal from the head, it will be able to fulfill itself through bestowal. When the body is fulfilled, its negative relationship with the head will cease. In other words, the attitude of the nations of the world toward Israel. But this is only under the condition that Israel takes care of the nations of the world and demonstrates the appropriate methodology for correction to them, which they can then participate in. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 24th of April 2017, lesson on topic, Holocaust Memorial Day. My thoughts on Twitter, the 22nd of May 2017. Our general interdependence will only become more apparent, and there's no solution but drawing close, like a family, as Kabbalah teaches. In his tour of the Middle East, Trump wants to at least partially correct the mess left by Obama. The shattered ego paints not the whole picture, but its fragments, sciences. Its crisis leads to the union of sciences into one. Kabbalah. New Life 851. A Generation Gap.
Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shadarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the generation gap. Probably you know this from home. You have parents, children, and there are gaps. We'd like to understand, where does it come from, and where is it taking us? Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, every few years, 10 or 20 years, we have a new generation, and time's accelerating. And it kind of goes hand in hand with the development of technology in recent years. And so on this show, we'd like to see how can we cope with the vast differences between the different outlooks? How do we get along in such a diverse society? But before we begin, I'd like to relate to what you said on one of our previous shows regarding dividing the generations into those that built the infrastructure, the hardware, the main things, the foundations of our life. And we're headed towards generations that will be less engaged in material things and will be more engaged in researching our internality. This is what will interest them. It'll be beyond the boundaries of our mind, something that really researches the depth of life. These are generations that will know how to look at the forces that are operating nature, that will know how to enter that great big computer called life. So what we see is that there are different generations that relate to life differently. And the question is, to what extent or what is the depth of the generation gap? Will people be able to get along with each other? We always have to measure the gap, not quantitatively, but qualitatively. And it's not simple to measure qualitative differences between the generations, but this is actually what we have to do. In order to measure things qualitatively, we have to measure the aspirations of this or that generation. What are they drawn to? What is the most important thing for them? What is the system of values of that generation? So, for example, we have to choose food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, these six very clear characteristics, and to measure the yearning that each of the generations have for these things, which is a must, but to what extent? And what are the preferabilities of each and every generation? Well, food, sex, family, more or less, these are things that we can see. But afterwards, wealth, money, power, control, all the things that take place between people, human things, psychological things, including envy, hate, lust, honor, being the fifth level, and the sixth level is knowledge. So, if we can correctly form these criteria and then by them to measure each and every generation, then more or less we'll have the right picture about the generations. I don't think that anyone did it to this day. The wisdom of Kabbalah is engaged in this, but it's not engaged in comparative research between the generations. It's not that important. We know that we're advancing towards a big crisis, where all of the yearning for food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge will eventually leave a person empty of all of these things, and then a person will want to develop above, beyond these things, because it won't satisfy him. Yeah. And from this, people will come to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Now, on the way, of course, we have to take care of people as much as we can, because people can get stuck for years, if not for centuries, in certain plans in order to achieve something on the way, whether it's food, sex, or family, and entire generations can be occupied with these things, or money, wealth. We see how much humanity is investing in this and how much time it takes up from humanity, or envy, lust, honor, control, or knowledge, science, and so on. Meaning that every time we think that if we will put the emphasis on the next level, from food to sex, from sex to family, from family to wealth, from wealth to honor, and from honor to knowledge, that every time on the higher degree, we will attain our essence, that this is the secret of life, there we'll find happiness. Yeah, there we'll reach a state where we'll truly be happy. Wealthy, happy, obviously. So humanity is developing in this direction, and eventually it has to reach a state where it is completely despaired of its development. That actually the entire human development exists within these six criteria. But we can hasten time, we can hasten development. And this is something that we know from the wisdom of Kabbalah, that this development leads to a general crisis, that a person remains empty, and he even cries out, it's better to die than keep on living this way, because you can't live without pleasure, and you can't get the pleasure, because the desire came to an end. A person has no more desire. He's in despair, and he doesn't know how to continue. So, with the help of the wisdom of Kabbalah, we can start giving a person the understanding that the entire development is a lost cause. And then we hasten times by centuries. And we avoid wars and struggles and great suffering and tragedies in the family, personal tragedies, national tragedies. And with the help of education, we can bring humanity to a state where even without going through everything in practice, it's enough just to taste a bit and see that it doesn't give you anything. And this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah advises us to do. To give people the right education as quickly as possible, for them to understand that being in pursuit of these six goals is futile, even though that we do run after them. I'm talking about humanity. This is going to be a short race, accompanied with explanation, and therefore it will end very quickly and end with a good result, which is the recognition of evil. Looking at the generation gap, like you said, every generation has a different desire, and they have a different fulfillment that they want. There's a generation that appreciates money or knowledge and so on. And you're saying that the future generations will appreciate the material things even less. And they'll more appreciate the inner matters. So, how we, as parents, can we educate a generation where we don't know what world they're going to live in? We grew up in the old world that's maybe no longer relevant for the new world that they're going to live in. So what does it mean to be parents in this kind of a generation? What are we as parents supposed to pass on to our children regarding a world that we don't really know what it's going to look like? Again, please. Today, as parents, we're living in the old world compared to the world that our children are going to grow up in. Can you do something about it? Imagine you're watching a movie in which a dinosaur couple gives birth to a monkey, which is something from thousands and thousands of years into the future. What do? They look at this monkey. They don't even know how to feed the monkey. And what do you do with it? And how to play with it? How to talk to it? They don't know nothing. Two miserable dinosaurs. I'd make a cartoon about it. This is how we feel as parents many times, that suddenly we have a baby dinosaur. Not a baby dinosaur. A baby monkey. Nice, beautiful, smart. Smarter than them. 1,000 times smarter. They look at him like this, and he's smart, you know. Exactly. This is the situation. Now, we don't exactly understand how does his operating system work. He doesn't understand you at all. What do you want from him? So, what is our role as parents with respect to that advanced creature? Give him what he wants. That's it. You can't do more than that because you don't understand him. You don't know him. You have no connection to him. You're connected only to his corporeal needs. Give me food, money, and set me free. Okay, so help us out here because we know how to be an ATM, supermarket, microwave oven. Teach us something that we don't know. I'd like you to help me and understand. Let's put the newborn monkey baby on the table, and we are a dinosaur couple. You look at him from here, from there. Fine. Now we need you to help us out. We invited someone to help us in this peculiar situation. We invited you, a wise person, and we're asking you to help us understand what are the qualities, traits of this baby monkey. He wants things that you didn't want. What? He wants to attain his life, like each and every generation. To attain the life of a generation, it means that I have to fulfill the desires that I have. These desires, they're different than yours. you wanted to dress up nicely. I don't think about what I wear. I need to throw on some rag like what the young generation's walking around in, and that's it. You wanted classical music. I hear it, I get the shivers. What dinosaurs? What are they impressed with? They wanted ballet. What ballet? This I don't understand. Street dancers. This I understand. And so on and so forth. Meaning, your entire culture is so unclear, ununderstood to my culture as a baby monkey, that I can't understand you, you can't understand me. Our mutual ground is food and money, something that has to do with the bodily needs. And also my bodily needs are somewhat different. But I was born in this family, so I'm used to mom's cooking and so on, so I can live with it. But actually the food isn't exactly the same food. It also changed. And the entire concept of work, money, career, all of these things are simply not for me. I'm following my nature. I can't follow your nature, dear parents. I simply can't, and I don't wanna. And also, I don't really feel you. You gave birth to me. What's in it for me? Yeah, true. Therefore, you have to give me what I need. How long? As long as I need it. Maybe my entire life. When you were young, you thought that you have to quickly get a profession, go to work, have a family. I don't understand these things. I don't have these needs. I want to live at home. Mom, give me something. Dad, don't forget to buy me something on the way. And me, I'm in my room with my computer, or not even with my computer, with something new, who knows what. Perfect description. What do you recommend me to do from this point and on? There's nothing that you can do. Unless the parents and the children reach some kind of equivalence of form. But such an equivalence of form where the parents and the children will reach a common degree of development. What development? Inner development. For it to be something in common. What do you mean? I don't know what to say. Suppose if a child likes history, for example, and his father can also be interested in history, and they learn about a certain period in history, the Renaissance or ancient Greece or something. So they have a common denominator. We have no common denominator with the younger generation. There can only be a future common denominator, meaning what they can reach in the inner development of the younger generation, which is called the development of the soul. In each and every person, there is a part that is eternal, and this part does not die, it's unexchangeable, it doesn't change. If I, and suppose my grandchild who's 10 years old and I'm 70 years old, if we'll start doing this together, then we have something common, eternal, complete and perfect that might be very important for him. Because it's even closer to him than it is to me, according to the generations. And then we can be in contact, connected, mutually helping each other, really living a mutual life. I see that that's how it is with my children. One of my daughters, who's a doctor of biology, then what's important for her is genetics. She loves it. We knew it from the start. She was this tall when she decided that this is what she wants. However, my son and my younger daughter, they were drawn to what I'm doing. And they heard about it from young age and knew about it, and they're a part of it. And it's not a problem because they feel that this is the meaning of life, the purpose of life. It's something that's not obsolete. Are there universal things that are not time dependent? Only this. Only the soul that's eternal. And only. And only the soul can be something common for all of us because it's one for everyone. And therefore, I and all of the generations, X, Y, Z, Alpha, and so on, it doesn't matter. This is something that's going to be one for everyone, and also beyond the generations and beyond life and death, from ages and ages ago, since the dinosaurs, since the Big Bang, when we were still small particles of desire, and until the end of correction, it will be something common for everyone. Therefore, we have nothing else that we can take interest in together, that we'll work on together, that we'll need each other for, besides the development of the soul. So you're saying that the only way to bridge the generation gap is by mutually developing the soul. And because the soul is something that doesn't die, doesn't change, it's eternal, it could be the common denominator that will connect any generation with any generation? Yes. So what is this field of developing the soul? How do you develop it? What are we talking about here? I'm talking about a special desire that exists in a person which is possible to develop, that is a desire to feel something that's outside of you instead of what's inside of you. It's really hard to understand. You have to do special exercises for it. In a small special society that we build through a tent, where by devoting myself to a small group of people, By these exercises, I rise above my ego, and then when I rise above my ego, I can see the world no longer corrupted by my ego, the way I perceive it inside of me, but the way it is outside of me. When I pass through the small group, and I leave my ego in them, and I go outside of them, through them, I exit through them in such a way that I simply pass myself through them. They're like a filter. So I pass through that filter and I start seeing the world without my ego. And then I see it as something completely different. And that's called the spiritual world. And then my perception of it is called my soul. So, going back to the question we began with, what does it mean to develop the soul? To develop the soul, it means to develop the ability to exist above my ego. And how do we define the ego? It's a desire to constantly absorb something into myself. It's standing in my way of feeling something that's outside of me. So there are two levels here. If we're talking about the relations between parents and children and the gaps between the generations, there are two levels of communication. There's the communication on the level of give them whatever they want, food, wash their clothes, whatever they need. And there's the inner communication on a much deeper level that's beyond corporeality. that is a completely different realm than the one that we talked about. And in that realm, there is no gap between the generations. In that realm, what does the communication look like? It's objective. What do you mean? Where a person has no self-interest. Are there gaps there? Aren't there gaps there? Of course there are. To the extent to which a person is capable of coming out of his ego and rising above it, this way coming out of himself, he feels the upper reality. What connects me with the younger generation there? All of us meet there. It's called beyond the barrier, beyond this filter, where we leave all of our small egos, corporeal egos, that are related to the animate level or to man on the degree of this world, because food, sex, family, that's the animate level, and money, honor, knowledge, that's the human level in this world. So we leave all that, we go forward, and then I'm left with the soul. Today you're a grandfather and you have several grandchildren. Suppose I'm your grandchild, very young, suppose. Suppose I'm 10. And you're my grandpa, I have a wise grandpa who understands the formula for how to bridge the generation gap. And now, I'm one of your younger grandchildren. And you're my grandfather. You know all these things that you just told me about. Tell me something about it. Excite me. Touch me. Not as Oren or Yael that are sitting in the studio with you now listening to what you're saying with our intellect, but touch me emotionally as one of your grandchildren. What do you have to offer me in life? I have nothing to offer you. So we came back to that same place where we're dinosaurs and we have a baby monkey here. No, I know how to arrange for this small monkey a framework in which he can grow up from the moment that he's born and on, and for him to grow in such a way that after a few years, he and I will be able to speak the same language. What's supposed to be in that framework so that soon you'll be able to speak the same language, so to speak? We're physically, emotionally, intellectually developing there towards the revelation of his soul. Yeah, but in the preliminary stage, society. Okay, the social development, that's what's special about it. Society teaches him how, through the right and good kind of connection, friendly connection with others, how to start feeling the world as a friendly place, so much that gradually his ego starts taking lessons about what the correct behavior is, even though that it's the ego. How would you define correct behavior? Bestow love of others, connection, sacrifice to some extent. Why? What for? In order to be favorable in the eyes of others, in order to have a place among them. Egoistically wise, in the meantime, all the rest I leave to the special force that dwells in such a society called the reforming light. Our time's up again. I have to ask one more question. If I understand, the thing that can bridge the generation gap is the development of the soul, which is the ability to exist above the ego. And when a person develops the ability to exist above the ego, he starts seeing something. I didn't understand even what. What does that person start seeing? he starts seeing the system that's controlling his life, this entire world. Not just the games on the internet, something on television, some movies, some something that fulfills a person for a short period of time, or food, or sex, or family, or money, honor, or knowledge, or drugs somewhere along the way. No. He starts enjoying the source of all of these things, which is much more essential and powerful than all of the other fulfillments that he can find in his day-to-day life. More powerful how? It fulfills the biggest desire that a person has, called the soul. Will it satisfy him? He'll be happy? Of course, this is how we're built. What kind of satisfaction? Eternal, complete, the biggest possible perfect satisfaction that allows a person to see from one end to the other, such a satisfaction that all of the rest of the satisfactions that he can have in any other way are included in there, and it's much greater than all of them. Dr. Leitman, we'll have to talk to you again. You see how I manage in ending the show with the most intriguing thing every time. Satisfaction is always interesting. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Yael. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.